We are having us to have a Good Friday service here. Please note that it is at 10:30, not at 10 o'clock. And it will be slightly shorter. You know, normally our services are about an hour and a half. This one will be about an hour so that we can respect the programming that they will still be doing here that day. But yeah, we're greatly appreciative that they have made this space and time available to us. And probably some of them will be joining us perhaps a little bit more than we typically have on a Sunday morning. But just want you to be aware of that. And so if you do see people from the Dream Center, thank them for us, because they're hosting us this Friday. So hope you can come. And again, 10:30. Now, last Sunday when we shared, when Dallas and I, when Dallas shared her story last Sunday, many of you were so encouraged by that. And Sam and Susan came up to me after the service and said, We have a testimony that we would just love to share with the congregation of some ways that God has been at work in our lives recently. Is there any way that you could fit it in next week? And I said, yeah, we can move some things around and make sure that that happens. So Sam, do you want to come up? Is it Sam and Susan or just Sam coming up? Just Sam. Okay. Sam sent me like a very welcome. Welcome, Sam. Have a seat. Sam sent me, I have it actually in front of me here. This is a page and a half of a story of how God has been at work in their lives over the last number of months in providing for something that you guys were really in need of. So why don't you just take the story away?
Okay, sorry. So I'm here to, we don't want to share this one to anyone except with this is all about the application we submitted with the CIC.
So hold on, sorry, Sam. So you're only here in Canada based on your ability to work because there is a work permit in place.
Exactly.
Okay. And so that was being called into question.
Yes.
Okay.
So the question is called about the query we received. So predominantly, 10% received a query on. After that, we did. And after that, we just only pray to God. Whatever His plans, we are completely, we totally agree with that. So in this period of time, according to their policy, not advisable because we do have a threshold limit in the policy that I have to work within certain period of time. And I have to submit my work permit extension in my organization. So due to that, I said that I received a query, but unfortunately, the first thing come from the legal department is, Sam, if we didn't receive anything before January 1st, 31st, we might need a temporary layoff.
They might need to lay you off.
Temporary layoff.
Yep.
So just once you get the work permit, you can again join back with the same pay, same hike, and same designation and everything. The only point is, I can join that in that way, but the thing is like the entire 2023 I worked, so I will lose my entire hike. Mm-hmm. My performance, what I have did and the hike and the bonus, whatever they decided, I will lose the entire thing. That is the only challenge I faced.
So it was both a challenge in terms of you might not have the ability to work very much longer because the work permit was being called into question, and then you were going to lose your income as a result of this.
Exactly.
And not only the income, but the raise that you had earned over the past year because of really good performance.
Yeah.
And your wife is on maternity leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So everything, now it is everything comes under the question. So what is the next opportunity? If I get refused, I mean, she got approved, and my work permit is still in the query. The recent query came up is Susan was in maternity leave, so she couldn't, because we thought that CIC will encounter the entire thing of what exactly allowed to my SIN number as well as my health card, everything. So they will extract all the information altogether. But the thing is like, it is completely a vice versa. We didn't get that one over there, and I'm sorry for that. So, yes. they didn't look out the documentation that she is under the mat leave. So due to that, I got the query, and she is her application is approved. So my application was in a query, and I told to my boss before going to the legal team. I told to my boss, boss, I might send her an exit letter from this organization, and she was surprised, like, why? And this is the query I received. So 90% will be refused. 10% is success rate, because when it comes to query, they will not reassess the documentation whatever we sent. That's what we received from so many blogs and other people who gave the feedback. So due to that, so then we got to know that, okay, we didn't know, I might leave the family behind, I might go back home, and again I had to submit, and it will take another years to come for that application or something like that.
You would have had to go back to India and live in India and reapply to come back.
Yes. Yeah. If it is refused, I have to leave the family behind here, and I have to go back home.
Wow.
So that is the situation. And parallelly, few good things happening. I mean, God is working on that. When my application is in progress, and I received my boss that I received a standard performance in 2023, and I was selected in a leadership program for North America. So out of 30, I am one among them across North America in the leadership program. And I don't know if this document, if my application is refused, everything will be stopped. So I said, like, boss, yeah, giving me entire thing, but I don't know if my application is refused, I might exit this company. She said, don't worry, everything will be fine. You just focus on your work and do that. I didn't know anything until I had a official meeting with my legal department. My boss called the legal department, and she said, like, there is no temporary layoff for Sam, and please drop out the option. He will be in the system, and he has to work. I'm pretty sure that he will get that approval.
Mm-hmm. So your boss stuck up for you,
yeah,
when the legal department was saying you should lay him off.
Yes.
Wow.
So it is completely unquestioned. I just, because I can't go against the policy of the company, even my boss. Mm-hmm. But she said that, Sam, if everything is under my purview, I will do that. That's it, she said. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that behind what exactly happened. Mm-hmm. This information, boss made a call to legal team. I got it in March 6th. Mm-hmm. So I got this information from the executive who is handling my document in my company. And parallelly, we was going through entire thing. And I don't know, these are the dots which is not connected until I get my approval. So during my thing, I encountered few things from the God, especially when the testimonial was given by Joel, specific to the muffler was replaced by Don and everything. Mm-hmm. On the same day, I was in intention to discuss with this Don that, Don, something I feeling that my muffler also is in the same condition. Mm-hmm. It is not in a position. So I would like to do that because when I was traveling, parked the car and came all the way, and he itself identified that, Sam, I think your muffler is not in a good way. We'll see how to fix it. Mm-hmm. And when I came to the church, Joel also said the same thing. And on that day, I was discussing with Joel, mm-hmm, you won't believe what exactly happening in my... Because he also said the same thing about his work-related one. Mm-hmm. So I will also lose the same kind of a job in case if my application didn't approve.
Okay, can we pause and just go over this again? Because it's so important. So let me just recap this. In the middle of this family looking like facing the very real possibility that Sam's going to have to move back to India, they're going to lose their income, their family is going to be separated, and they're praying and trusting God that he will be at work in this process. The boss steps up and says, I've got your back. Yes. And then you came into church on a Sunday morning thinking to yourself, I have to talk to Don to get some help with my muffler.
Exactly.
And Don says to you on the way in,
yeah,
Sam, I see your muffler needs work. I'm going to help you out with that. And then, that was the Sunday morning where we shared about the whistle, and Joel goes off on this rabbit trail while he's up here. Do you remember Joel talking about his muffler and pointing over to Don? And I'm sitting here going, Joel, what are you doing? Why are you talking about a muffler? That's not why we're here. And Joel told me afterwards, he's like, I was beating myself up so badly after I finished sharing because I couldn't figure out why I was diverting over to this story about Don helping us out with a muffler when Joel had been going through a very trying time at work where he was about to lose, or where they were in like dire financial straits, and Don had helped him out. And so do you see God's kindness towards this family? And also the way that he confirmed a word, both to them and to us? So please keep going, brother.
Yeah, so I encountered that one, and let me go take a pause and go to Joel, and I said the entire thing. So I'm waiting for the day to give the testimonial. So definitely this, your testimonial made me, I mean, give me so much confidence that God will definitely work in my application as well. And
saw how God had worked in Joel's life.
Exactly.
As confirmed by the muffler thing. And it was like God saying to you, just like I did it for Joel, I will do it for you. Same yes. story.
Yeah.
That's what you will take.
Exactly. Yeah. Awesome. And the key takeaway is Joel listened to God and he obeyed to God. That's what I want to do the same. That is the key takeaway for me.
Yeah.
And moving the chairs to the room, and Susan came from nowhere. And on the day Susan and Jairus didn't come to church, and Susan came from nowhere saying that, Sam, I just want to share the message of God that she said, I love you. Nothing will change from that.
So let's just make sure this is clear because you have Susan and Suzanne. So he's married to this Susan, but Susan wasn't here on this particular Sunday, and Suzanne Burnett came over to Sam after a service and said, I just feel like the Lord has been saying, go tell Sam, I love you, I've got you.
Yeah. And it was, first of all, I didn't realize what exactly happened. It took a few minutes to understand. Then I sat, I was in the car and I prayed to God, Lord, thank you so much for the promising love you kept on us. And everything was done, and we are again praying and praying and praying to God, and finally, again, these are the God's work, again, this, I'll kind of club this one as a dot. So the final dot is application, my approval. So finally, God blessed with me the approval on March 7th, and I received the application saying that your application has been approved, and you are allowed to work in your organization. And I said this one, I shared this application, the approval letter to my company. And that's when all the dots connected together. And that's it. So that's what I'm here to share this one. With.
Well done.
Thank you.
They trusted God over a number of months with some huge questions. Financial and family. And this is a condensed version of the story that Sam sent me. I mean, there's more in terms of scripture that came alive to them, and they claimed the scripture, John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's a piece in the story about God speaking very personally to them and having to need to walk in that peace and in that confidence that God had given them, but now they have to live it out day by day by day as they wait over months to see whether or not they'd be able to stay. And so we give thanks to God for this. So bless you, Sam and Susan. We're so glad to have you with us in an ongoing way. And thank you so much for giving praise to God. Like when we come and we give testimonies, they're a way of encouraging the family, but they're also a way of simply offering another form of worship to God to say, this is what God did for me, and I give you thanks and praise. And so that's what they wanted to do this morning. And so thanks for including us in this, and we're glad that you are part of the family.
Thank you. And finally, I totally forgot that one. My job was in question, but finally, after the approval, before that itself, I got the official saying that I got been promoted to client analytics manager for North America region again. So this is another approval. So we asked for one, God blessed with multiple things. So we didn't expect this one.
Wow.
Thank you.
Isn't that just like God, right? How cool is that? He wants to keep his job and God gives him a promotion. Wow. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the ways that our stories, as you interact with us and you carry us through and you provide, they give us the opportunity to experience you in different ways. It's one thing to sing that you are Jireh, you are provider. It's another thing to live it out. And thank you that we get those reminders along the way that you are involved, that you are providing. And so, Lord, thank you so much for providing for this family. And thank you that they walked with a quiet confidence that the Lord will be provider. He will take care of us. And thank you for the ways that one person's story encouraged another. And I pray the same thing for sharing this story and sharing Kate's story, that these wouldn't simply be, wow, God did something cool for that person, but God did something over there, and he's the same God that he is to me. And so, Lord, we bring you... we bring you praise and thanks for what you have done, and we come with a confidence that you will be the same kind of you. We bless you, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to people. Thank you that you speak to. You want to come on up? You clap for Sam, so you better clap for Kate. There you go.
Thank you.
So, Kate's going to walk us through a few slides first, and then we will actually tell the story. So the slides will give you just a few visuals of what happened here. Kate sent me so many pictures, and then I had to pare it down quite a bit. So this is not in any way capturing even close to the full trip, but we want to show a few things here.
Okay, so that's my team right there, and then that's some picture from worship. So that's pretty cool, I guess. Next slide. Oh yeah, thank you all for your encouraging notes. They were super encouraging. It was really cool to actually receive those. So so this was cool. I'll touch more on this later, but we had like a week focused on Central Asia, and that's actually where I ended up going. So yeah, that's just a picture of Central Asia. And then, okay, it's kind of hard to see, but you can see I went to Tajikistan. So that's Tajikistan, like right in the middle, like that little, I don't know. But can you all see that? Yeah, okay. here's more pictures of my team. This is us when we first got there. And then there's some of my friends in a taxi. It was super cold, and there were so many mountains. It was so beautiful there. Here, this is when we served at a youth group. So, I was speaking a little and then making some sandwiches. Yeah.
I think that's the last one.
I think that's
so,
it.
Sorry, I had to pare it down so much. I didn't want it to distract too much from what you actually have to share. But Let me just recap. I probably should have done this at the beginning. Most of you will know this already, but Kate went to YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission, where they go to what's called a DTS and do 3 months of training in preparation for then the following 3 months of going to the mission field. And so the mission field where she ended up was Tajikistan and then some other stands around there as well, right? But why don't you start at the beginning and walk us through, like, what were some of the highlights of being in Kona? At the DTS there?
So the highlights, there were a lot of highlights. It was so fun. I made some really amazing friends. And yeah, the worship was really incredible. And I loved all the classes. Yeah, it was so fun. But I think, like, the highlight, probably the biggest highlight, like the biggest takeaway, was probably just like what God did in my own heart. So yeah, I'll give you guys a little bit of background kind of information. So basically, 2 years ago, my grandpa passed away, and it was like super sudden, and it really, like, it was horrible. It was like, I've never felt sadness like that. And so, yeah, it was really hard for quite a while. And then kind of right around that time is when our church was, like, we were all kind of starting to learn how to, like, hear God's voice for, like, the first time, if you guys probably remember that. So, yeah, kind of at that time, I was just filled with a lot of doubt and a lot of, like, yeah, just doubt, like, because my grandpa died and I was mad at God for so long, and then everyone was learning how to hear God's voice, and I, like, just felt like I couldn't, and I didn't understand, and I was like, does God even want to, like, speak to me? And so, yeah, that kind of went on for a while. I was just full of so much doubt. And then, yeah, there were even a couple times I was like, is God even real? Like, does he even care? Like, and so then that kind of led to shame because, like, obviously my whole life I've been told, like, God is real, God loves you. So I was like, how can I even doubt that God's real? So it's kind of just this, like, long time of, like, doubt and shame. And that went on for quite a while. And then I kind of just, like, pushed it down, like, whatever. Yeah, anyways, then I got to Kona and I was having just a really good time. And there wasn't, like, a specific moment where, like, God came in and, like did something crazy in a moment, but it was kind of just, like, a process, like, the whole time I was there, just, like, learning how to just, like, chase God down. It was like God was teaching me how to, like, pursue him and, like, chase him down in my, like, quiet, secret place. And yeah, like, I just learned how to, like, have intimacy with God and choose that every day. And yeah, I just, like, the simple truths of, like, the gospel just kept hitting me over and over again, where it was, like, we were all put on this earth to, like, be loved by God. Like, that's why we're on this earth. And I think that truth, like, really just, like, transformed everything. Like, we're, like, God created us to be in relationship with him, and he loves us all so much. And then I remember one day I was reading my Bible, and I was reading The Prodigal Son, which I had read, like, literally 100 times before. But then this time it, like, actually, like, really hit my heart. And it was like, whoa, like, this whole time I was, like, struggling with, like, doubting if God was even real. Like, I had, like, basically 1 foot in and, like, 1 foot out. This whole time God was just waiting with his arms open, like, saying, like, Kate, like, just turn around and realize, like, I'm waiting here. Like, I want to have a relationship with you. Like, that's why I made you. And so, yeah, that was, like, the biggest transformation, I think, is just, like, every single day choosing to chase God down, like, in my quiet place, in my secret place, and then, like, God is so faithful to always just meet you there with exactly what you need. And so, yeah, that was really cool. But that was one of the highlights. Do I just keep talking about?
I'll stop you if I need to. Okay. But yeah, you feel free.
So another, okay. Yeah.
This is for me, not for you, but you feel free to.
I won't look at it then.
No, well, feel free, but this is to keep me on track, but you go with whatever you feel like the Lord has.
Okay. Yeah, another really cool, okay, so I had such a good time. We do intercession every day, like, as a school. So, like, for, like, an hour every day, basically we just, like, worship and then pray all together, like, on behalf of, like, a nation in the world. So, like, one day we'd pray for, like, Africa. Like, it was really cool. Like, I loved it. And like at first I didn't, but then like, is this too close?
Nope,
okay, but then like the more and more we started doing it, the more I started like just loving it and looking forward to it. And then like, so anyways, then we did a week and it was all about Central Asia. So like the whole campus was like focused on Central Asia. And it was really cool. Like I had never really heard about Central Asia much before. And by this time I knew I was going to Tajikistan. But we were doing intercession, just like random afternoon, and we were praying for Central Asia. And I always kind of start off like just praying and like asking God to just like align my heart with His and break my heart for like what breaks His heart. And so that's what like I did. Like I just prayed that whatever, and then we started worshiping. And then it was crazy. Like as soon as the guy like started talking about Central Asia, I just started like weeping, like I couldn't control it. And I was like, what the heck? Like, this doesn't even make sense. I like don't even care about this place. So it was crazy. I was like so sad. Like it was like, I couldn't even stand up. I was crying so much. And then, yeah, it kind of felt like it was like the feeling of like when you lose someone that you love, but like over and over and over again. And then yeah, it's like you know you're never going to see them again. It's like horrible. And so then I was like, what the heck is happening? And then I asked God, like, what's happening? And this was like when I was kind of learning to hear His voice. So I was like, okay, whatever. But He was like, He said, I'm like answering your prayer. He said, I'm breaking your heart for what breaks my heart. And I remember Him saying that He was confiding in me. And then I was like, whoa, like God's confiding in me. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
That's a line, just to interrupt you briefly to back that up. That's a line that actually comes right out of Psalm 25. The Lord confides in.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I think that was just like such a sweet gift, honestly, to like get to like carry that with me into Tajikistan. So yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about either Evangelism Week or Holy Spirit Week? Where?
Yeah, so we did a lot of evangelism as a school. We went out on Halloween all together, and we were all like handing out Bibles. We're going up to doors and just like giving out Bibles and like just stopping people on the streets just to talk to them. And yeah, it was really cool. There was probably like 300 of us out there. I think at the end, there's like 40 people that got saved that night, which was crazy. So, yeah, that was like the first time I'd really like gone out and done evangelism before, which was really cool. But they kind of encouraged us like every day. They were like, just go out and like, because if you're not going to do it here, like you're not going to do it in Tajikistan. So they're like, just go out, like talk to everyone, like tell them about Jesus. Like they would give us ideas, like go and like buy the person in front of you a coffee and then tell them like, oh yeah, like I just wanted to bless you today because, I don't know, like God loves you or something. So yeah, like it was cool. We did a lot of that. And so yeah, I really liked doing evangelism. And then yeah, Holy Spirit Week was really crazy. So basically we were just like learning so much about the Holy Spirit, and it was kind of like a lot of stuff was seemed pretty new to me, or like almost like I hadn't really learned about that before, so it was really cool. And then there was one day we were doing like a ministry time, which is like you kind of just come forward and then like all the staff would like pray for you, and they were praying for like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And like I'd never really seen like God really like the power of God like move like that before, I guess. So yeah, it was really crazy. yeah, it was really crazy. And like, yeah, I was talking to my friends after and they were all like feeling something different. Like one person said she like passed out and then she like saw God, like, or saw Jesus like talking to her or something. And then, so anyways, I was like, that's crazy. But for me, this girl just prayed for me. And then, yeah, so she prayed for me and nothing really happened. But then I was given the gift of praying in tongues. So it was really cool. And I was like, they kind of talked about it before, like it could happen. And so it was kind of cool when it did. And yeah, so that was something that was super unfamiliar. But then I just kind of like, really where this is going. But yeah.
That's wonderful. I mean, I mean, a number of people here have experienced that, so you're among friends. You'd be among friends whether they experienced it or not. But no, we will say thank you to God for every gift that he gives, right? And it's interesting to me the way that God sort of paired your heart for intercession with a prayer language, as tongues is sometimes called. I mean, tongues can be used in worship as well, but it can also be used in intercession when you just don't know how to pray. And you are growing in prayer, in loving praying for. And I remember you sharing with me how you there were times where you were going to the prayer room and spending hours in the prayer room, right? And just developing that intimacy and
yep.
Okay. So tell us now about the story of wanting or not wanting to go to Tajikistan, because that wasn't the first pick for you, was it?
No, it wasn't. I really wanted to go somewhere warm, actually. So that's why I think I put like the Philippines and then like Peru or something and then like somewhere in Africa. And I just kind of like I spent way too much time thinking about it. We had 24 hours. It's like they got all revealed to us and then we had 24 hours to choose. And then, basically we get to pick our top three. And I just remember I spent so much time talking to my mom on the phone, like, oh my goodness, I don't know where I should go and all this. But anyways, before I went to submit it the next morning, like for some reason I was thinking about Tajikistan and I was like, what even is Tajikistan? And so I was like, okay, I'll just put it like as my third, like maybe I won't even go, but I'll just put it anyways. And then, yeah, like a couple weeks later, found out I was going to Tajikistan. So, yeah, at first I was like, yeah, I don't know. I was like, because it's like, yeah, Tajikistan is one of the most like unreached nations in the world. Like nobody really goes there. And so, and they all, like they would call it like the hardest and the darkest places. So I was a little bit like, I don't know. Like I was excited, but I wasn't really... I think I went in thinking it would look totally different because when it was like so beautiful and so nice and everyone was so kind there. And so I think I wasn't expecting it to be how it was, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Tajikistan is a Muslim country, right?
Yes.
And so evangelism is not permitted. The church mm-hmm. is underground.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what does an underground church mean?
So basically the church is... Yeah, so it's a Muslim country right in Central Asia, super influenced by Russia. But they have this like president dictator guy who is Muslim and he wants everyone there to be Muslim. And so like it's illegal to do evangelism and try to convert people to Christianity. So we went in as tourists. And then, yeah, all the churches were underground. So, well, not all of them. I guess some of them were registered. But if they're not registered, they had to be like super careful that they wouldn't get caught. So that was kind of crazy, but yeah. Hmm.
So you get there, mm-hmm. and then your first, you jumped around to a number of different places, mm-hmm. and so your first assignment there was leading a DTS, like a mm-hmm. mini DTS at a youth group.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about how you became teacher and minister?
Yeah. So yeah, we were partnering with this youth group and they were a registered church and they were all like local Tajik kids. So it was really cool. They like don't ever get to talk about their faith. It's like pretty hidden. And so it was really cool to just like talk to them about it. And yeah, we did like a mini DTS, like what I did in Kona. And basically we like each took a day, 5 days, and we all talked about something different. So I talked about the Father heart of God just because like I feel like yeah, that was really something I was like learning about at the time. And so I talked about that. And then my other friend did one on like original design. And then there was one on freedom. And so it was really cool. And then, yeah, by the end, they were all like bringing their Muslim friends like from the neighborhood to like our DTS. And then on Friday, we had like a worship night. And then what we did was we kind of were just like hanging out with the kids because we had become pretty close to them by then. And so I remember asking like this group of girls, I was like, have you ever felt like God's love for you before? And they said, no. And then I was like, that's crazy. Let me pray for you. So then I just like prayed over them kind of as worship was starting. And then by the end of it, they were all just like on their knees, like crying, like experiencing God's love for the first time, which was so crazy cool to see that happen. And then I was standing with my one friend, Josiah, and this random guy came up to us, and he was like, I feel like we should do an altar call for the kids. And we were like, okay. So then he went up to the front and then he like did this altar call. He was like, if you feel like you need to like give your life to Jesus tonight, like come to the front and do it. And then 13 of the kids like ran forward and gave their lives to Jesus. And most of them were Muslim too, which was so crazy. So that was probably,
wow.
Yeah, let's go. Praise God.
And you were part of that, right? Like whether mm-hmm. you gave the altar call or not is kind of irrelevant because you were part of that prayer ministry of preparing hearts, right? And it reminds me of what Dallas said last week that our job isn't necessarily to get person right from doesn't know God all the way to has accepted Jesus, mm-hmm. but we're to help them take the next step.
Yeah,
and that's what you got to do in praying for people, and they mm-hmm. started to experience God's love, which prepared them to take then the next step after that. And mm-hmm. so you were obedient in doing your part, and God really used you in a very cool way.
They told us going in that we probably wouldn't see like much fruit or many salvations, so it's kind of like crazy to just see like God moving. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
And then from there, you went to Uzbekistan, is
that
right?
Yeah, we went to Uzbekistan, which is the country beside. And yeah, so we kind of just like partnered with a church there and just really encouraged them, did intercession with them every day, which was really cool. But a lot of our ministry was just like evangelism, like on the streets, and like it was pretty low key, like we were just like going up to people and making friends, and they were super friendly. Like they would just invite you over and they would like become your friend right away. So we made so many pretty amazing friends there. But yeah, we also like taught the church like kind of how to do evangelism, and we kind of like, yeah, it's just really cool because they're like, they live there, and so they have so much more of like an opportunity to like minister to their own people. So I think it was really cool to encourage them in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what, like, am I just, sorry, talking about evangelism? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did, we did a lot of, like, waking up pretty early and just, like, bringing baked goods to people that were working on the streets because there would be a lot of, like, older women that would sweep the snow off the streets every morning at, like, 6 a.m., so we'd go and just, like, hang out with them, and, yeah, it was really cool. Like, we did so many different forms of evangelism, and I loved, like, the taxi ministry we did. Like, every time we got into a taxi, we would play, like, worship music, which was really fun. And some of them would even sing along. Like, one time, we started playing this, like, crazy, like, Christian rap song, and the taxi driver was, like, bopping along to it. I remember he even started singing. He was like, yeah, Jesus save me, I'm so free. And we were all like, no way. Like, we were like, if only he knew what he was singing about. But, yeah, it was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you also had a soccer ministry at some point?
Yeah, so we spent a couple weeks in Uzbekistan, and then we took a train back to Tajikistan, to like the capital, and I joined a soccer team with girls like my age from Afghanistan. They're like refugees. And yeah, I that was one of my highlights for sure. Like, we would, because they weren't allowed to go to school or work, and all the Afghanistan refugees had to live in, like, one little village. And so, yeah, it was really cool to just, like, go and, like, hang out with them a few times a week and play soccer and just, like, get to know them. And at first, it was, like, super high tension. Like, they would fight all the time and, like, pull each other's hair. And, like, it was crazy. Like, I was like, why are you guys fighting, like, over soccer? But, yeah, then kind of towards the end, you could just tell that there's like a difference. Like I don't even know what we did, but they just like they just were loving on each other differently, and they just like loved us so much, and they were just having so much fun. And so yeah, it was pretty sad to like have to say goodbye to them because they were all like my age. Like they became my friends, and like even though we couldn't even like really talk to each other, like I'm sure they would have had a lot of crazy things to tell me. Like yeah, it was still really cool, like, the way that you can connect with people, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys connected with them and brought the peace of Christ, and that actually showed up in mm-hmm. and made a difference, right, mm-hmm. in terms of the way that they related to one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. It was kind of sad because we couldn't really, like, share the gospel with them just because the woman who was coaching them was like already kind of trying to do that, and so we kind of just like stayed out of it. But yeah, it was just cool to like be there and mm-hmm. yeah, so
again, it, mm-hmm. you don't have to take them all the way.
Yeah.
You were part of the next step.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, really cool. You had a story about a bus stop.
Yeah. So, the last couple weeks we were there, our contacts, left, and they went to Australia or something. And so we kind of didn't have to, think about their safety anymore. So we kind of just went, kind of crazy in the last couple weeks, which was so fun. Me and my friend Olivia, we were all just kind of kind of feeling tired towards the end, but then we kind of had this moment of realization where we were okay, if we don't go out and tell these people about Jesus, who is ever going to tell them? If we don't go tell them, chances are they're never going to hear the gospel again in their lives. So we're we have to go and go crazy. So that's kind of what we did. We literally went up to every single person we saw and was have you ever had a dream of a man in white? And we would ask so many people this, or we'd say, hey, can we pray for you? Can we pray for anything? Do you need healing, or do your parents or your family need healing? So yeah, we just kind of did that, which was really cool. And then they're super open to talk about religion. They love their religion. So we always it was always easy until you kind of talked about what you believe, and then they shut you down. But anyways, then one day we were walking and we saw this woman up ahead, and we were oh, let's go talk to her. And we passed this bus stop. And I was wait, I think we should go in the bus stop. So we did, and there was this older woman sitting in there. She was she was just sitting there all by herself. And so I sat down on the bench with her, and I was hi, using my Google Translator. And then she couldn't really respond back to us. She wasn't really talking back. And then she spoke Tajik, so it was really hard to translate. But basically every time she would try to talk to us, she would just cough, and she actually couldn't speak. And then we were whoa, that's crazy. Can we pray for you? And so we did. We prayed for her, and then nothing really happened. So then we prayed again, and then nothing really happened. And I think we prayed four times. But by the fourth time, she was she could actually talk back to us, and she wasn't coughing anymore. It was crazy. So yeah, that was really cool.
That's cool. And I asked Kate, so tell us, why did you keep praying? You didn't see any results for the first three times. Why did you keep going?
We're always told to pray more than once. And also in the Bible, there was one time that Jesus had to pray twice. So if Jesus had to pray more than once, we definitely have to pray more than once. Yeah.
Jesus says, keep on praying.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks after that, because we had prayed for so many healings, and that was the only one that we got to see. So,
do you have any other story?
Yeah, this one, I don't know if I shared this with you, but there's this one really cool day, because we would pray at midnight on Sundays for people to have dreams and visions in their sleep of Jesus. And then, then after that, we were asking everybody, have you ever seen a man in white in your dreams? And then everyone was saying no. But then one day I was at this little museum with some friends, and I asked this worker if she was just sweeping. I was have you ever had a dream of a man in white? And she goes, she was yes, I have. And she was so surprised that I'd asked her that. And I was no way. I was I don't even know what to say right now. And then she was I've been waiting for someone to tell me what that means. And so I asked her kind of what happened in the dream, and she described it in Google Translate. And then I was I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he reveals himself to people in dreams, and I believe that he wants you to know him. And then it was just a really cool moment. She didn't give her life or anything, but she just was so, yeah, it was really cool to see her smiling and stuff. So
it's so cool to see the way that God reaches out to people who've put up barriers to him, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't start from this place of very much openness, mm-hmm. right? But that didn't stop God. Mm-hmm. he saw the hand up and said, I can get around that. Very cool. I actually had just this morning a conversation who's telling me about how God often speaks to him in dreams, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't just... So I asked Dallas, I wanted to ask you, what did you feel is a message that God has for our church community from your time away?
As I was kind of praying about it, I feel like God was saying that there's just this huge invitation for all of us to just step into greater intimacy with him, and just deeper relationship with him. And obviously there's always that invitation, but right now, God just wants to pour his love out on all of us, and he wants us to just like wholeheartedly live for him because, and like wholeheartedly love him because he wholeheartedly like loves all of you too. And so, yeah, like as I was saying earlier, like God put us on this earth to be loved by him and put us on this earth to be in relationship with him. And so, like, why would we walk with like one foot in and one foot out when like that's literally like our purpose? Like, so yeah, I think God is just saying like come closer to me, like, because like, he's just waiting for all of us just to step into greater intimacy with him, because that's like really just what he wants. And yeah, I just like think that there's so much love that he wants to pour out on you like every morning when you wake up. And so yeah, I just kind of feel like yeah, anyways, yeah, I think that's what I was feeling.
It's a good message. So what I just asked her is,
yeah, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you just so much for, yeah, what you've done in my heart over these last 6 months, and the way that I've just seen you move, in the way you've invited me into just like a deeper, closer relationship with you, God. And I just thank you for my church community here back at home. And I just pray that you would just place like a hunger in their hearts just for more of you, God, and to see your face clearer. Like, would they just have like this like unction inside of them, like would they know that as long as they're on this earth, like there's more of you to know. And so I just pray that every morning when they wake up, they would just choose to step into deeper intimacy with you, Father. And I pray that you would just like pull, when they wake up, you would just pour out your love upon them. And would you just like fill up every single person in here until they just overflow? Yeah, just thank you that your love is never ending. And thank you that you just love to love on us. Yeah, I pray this in Jesus.
You give her a hand and say, well done. Well done. Thank you. I just want to read some scriptures to close this off. We've been in John 17, and you're going to see some real overlap with John 17 and what you've heard in the last two Sundays. And I want to just point out two things. I'm not going to preach on them. I just want you to notice them. Both Dallas and Kate shared about how important it has been to grow in intimacy with Jesus, in friendship. Dallas used the word abiding with Christ. That's John 15. Kate used the words entering into the secret place and getting to know the Father's heart. And it's that the growing in a oneness with God, that he is the one who's pulling out all the stops, who's just desiring more of us, that he isn't sort of indifferent but somewhat open to a relationship with us. He's waiting with open arms and inviting and drawing in. And then the second part of it is Jesus keeps saying, I have sent, I have sent, I have sent. And these two things go together, right? That as we draw closer to God, into oneness with him, into intimacy and friendship with him, he then sends us out. And so I just want to read these scriptures over us to, in many ways, just confirm both the work that God has been doing in Dallas and Kate, but that the message behind it that they have given us in these last 2 weeks very much corresponds with scripture. And so this is, in a sense, God's amen, saying, you guys jumped into my plan and you embodied it for us. So thank you. I'm going to read these scriptures and then we're going to close in prayer. Okay? This is Jesus speaking, and he says to the Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them, his disciples, into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly set apart for that task. And my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. So there's that in language of being in and among and with Father God. May they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave to me, that they may be one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me. There's that invitation to intimacy again. I want them to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I may myself. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you are the incarnate one. You are the one who came near, the one, you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And that you came to draw us near to yourself because we had put up all of these barriers and yet you said, that's not good enough. And we can't leave it this way. And I'm coming. Lord, thank you that you have come. Thank you that you draw us near to yourself and that we have the opportunity to pursue you. Thank you for the encouragement this morning to pursue you and to hear that word that there's more. There is more on offer than we have yet experienced with you. That the friendship that we have desired, the intimacy that we have desired, that son or daughter relationship with the Father, it's for that reason that you came to restore it to its proper design. Lord, may we enter into that proper design as your children to say, we have been loved by Father God. We have been reconciled and rescued because of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who comes, a God who draws near, and that you then, as you change us and transform us, you send us out with your love. Thank you for the reminder this morning that we carry and have the opportunity to share the Father's love with others. Would you make us people who embrace it and who share it, that Jesus might be glorified? In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to draw this portion of the service this morning to a close. So I'm going to pronounce a benediction, and then I'm going to invite Kevin Bender to come on up. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you, and may you experience his peace and his love. In Jesus' name, amen.